Hello, RSC. My name is Caleb Meek Bradley from Ukiah, California, and I'm leaving a message because I'm on a road trip right now to Florida, and I discovered your podcast right before I left, and I have listened to every single episode on this road trip. It's really helped. It hasn't necessarily made the trip shorter, but it's definitely made it more jovial. Like, I just laugh at everything. I see, you know, a sign that says 300 miles till El Paso, Texas, and I'm like, hey, that's funny. Or roadkill on the side of the road. I'm like, hey, what would RSC do? They would laugh. So I laugh. So thank you. Keep up the good work. I look forward to the next podcast. I love it. I even watched the video one while driving, which wasn't safe, but it was fun. So thank you.
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 121, Places We've Stayed. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're not so great. But we've stayed in them all. And on our last tour, Reed Martin, Liz Fitzpatrick, Elaine Randolph, and I reminisced about the best and the worst hotels we've ever stayed in.
One of them that sticks out is we were performing the America show. It was Austin and Matt Croak and I in Peekskill, New York. And I think it was at homecoming week or graduation weekend or something at the college around there. Dan Kays was our stage manager. And we get to this hotel, and it's called the Watergate, and that can't be good. And then we go to check in, and at the front desk where you check in, there's bulletproof glass. Now we know this is really bad.
And you have to put a $20 deposit down for the TV remote.
Yeah. So it was not an auspicious beginning. Then we go to the rooms, and it really looked as if somebody had pulled their car onto the carpet and changed the oil. And the dresser was all bashed up like somebody had sort of, not like smashed it to pieces, but just been hitting the dresser. The poles were off or hanging. And then going to the bathroom, and the faucet there evidently had come loose. And as if they tried to tighten it again, they'd used a hot glue.
Yeah.
And it was just, the windows were kind of painted over, and then maybe there was newspaper kind of stuck to the windows.
And it was just a motel. You know, you drive your car up to your front door, basically.
Yeah.
Motor Lodge.
Yeah. So we did the show, and what it was is we were about to put the America show to bed for quite some time. This was going to be the last performance of the America show for some time. And so on the way home, we stopped and got a six-pack of beer. And we were standing outside of Dan Kay's room, and Dan was holding the beer, and we said, well, where do we want to go? Such a lovely place. Where should we go have our beer? And so while we're discussing this, some guy comes up, you know, in a T-shirt, a sleeveless T-shirt, and he was also semi-toothless, I think. Yeah. And said, hey, can I have one of your beers? Yeah, that's how they talk in Peekskill, New York.
Yeah.
No editorializing. We're having a little celebration. And, oh, come on, man, don't be a tight. You know, give me a... No, we're not. You know, okay, you can be that way. I'm going to go get my gun. And he walked off. And Dan Kays, whose room we're standing outside of, says to me, could I sleep in your room tonight? Which we thought was, yes, would be a smart idea for everyone's health. That was the best hotel of that particular tour.
Yeah. Our apologies to the Watergate Hotel in Peekskill, New York. We're never staying there again.
I'm sure it's all been redone. Yeah. Now I've got, yes, hours of hotel stories, but I think Liz Fitzpatrick is here with us. Yeah. As we record this, we're on a six-hour drive between Columbus, Ohio, and Springfield, Illinois, on our spring 2009 tour.
And so far, the drive has not been that interesting.
No, we are not suffering from what we call sensory overload on this 6-hour drive.
Are we there yet?
Shut up!
That's five, Elaine! That's five!
Come back there.
Well, I was just fondly reminiscing about the Fife and Drum Hotel in Kent, Connecticut, where we stayed, I don't know, a year and a half or 2 years ago. And the rooms themselves were really not that bad. You know, a little homey, but not terrible. But we arrived on a day when no one actually worked at the hotel, so our keys were taped to the door of the gift shop downstairs. And we went and let ourselves in and went on about our day. And the next morning, I think we had a day off on the road, so, you know, we were all thinking, great, great, we'll sleep in late, it's nice and quiet here, not a problem. But at about 6:30 in the morning, I woke up and really thought we were having an earthquake until I realized that there was a freight train passing by the hotel. And I was on the second floor on the far side of the hotel, and I can't even imagine quite what it was like in Reed's room, where he was about 3 feet off the train track. Reed, do you have any input on that?
I've blocked it out of my mind.
Thanks for bringing it up.
I think the low point in my... And my trip occurred at a Days Inn, which, you know, to be fair to the Days Inn chain, I've stayed at some that are lovely and some that are fine. And this one was in, I think, Massachusetts, and it was, I believe, in the process of being renovated. Needless to say, I was not staying in the renovated part of the motel. And when I walked in, it was that horrible feeling when you open the door of, oh, Lord, they've given me a smoking room. And I mean, you know, 50 years of people smoking in that room it reeked. So I immediately went back downstairs, and the desk clerk was just as nice as he could be, but he's one of those people that smiled and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we can't help you." No, oh, but we can change your room tomorrow if you want. So I bit the bullet and went back upstairs to the room, and then I realized that if you went towards the sink in the room, it smelled like cat pee. So the combination of the two. Well, and then it just went down from there. You know, there were cigarette burns on the blankets, and one of the lamps didn't work, and I went in the bathroom, and the hot water faucet didn't work, and... So then I thought I'd have the smart idea to go out. I thought, oh, this will be really an intelligent way to fix this. I'll just go get a thing of Febreze. So I brought it back, and I must have sprayed half the bottle in the room. So then for the rest of the night, the room smelled like wet, moldy cat pee and smoke with a little hint of lilac Febreze on top.
One place I remember we stayed in, and I can't remember where, but it was one of those places where we had to drive, like, after... We had a long drive between venues, and for some reason I'm thinking now we're in Washington, the state of Washington, and we had to drive for an hour or two after a show to get halfway to the next place because we needed to be there at 10 o'clock the next morning or something. So, but we get to this hotel, and it's low rent. We get there after midnight. And we all go up, get our keys, and go up to our rooms. And I open the door to my room, and the light is on. And the bathroom door is closed. And I take a couple steps farther into the room, and the covers are slightly off the bed. And then, but there's a, like, the blankets are clumped up under the bed. And then I think I hear a noise in the bathroom. And I go back out into the hall, and I knock on Matt Croak's door, who's like the next drawer. I said, is your room okay? He said, yeah. I said, I think there's somebody in my room. So we go back down to the front desk, and the guy says, no, that's your room. I said, well, then will you come up? Because I think there's somebody in my room. And we go back up there, and then we go back up with the guy. We take a few steps farther into the room. There's a plate of leftover nachos on the nightstand. We knock on the bathroom door, and there's no answer. We open the door, and the dripping sound is just the drip of water into the sink. Somebody's kind of left it half open. Nobody has committed suicide or done anything. And the thing under the blanket was just more blanket. You know, it just, but it was just spooky. And the guy said, we'll get you another room. Yeah, thank you.
Well, I remember, I'm not going to say the name of this hotel because it's a nice hotel and it wasn't their fault. But the place we often stay when we play in Princeton, New Jersey, Jane and I checked into our room, and in the middle of the night, we heard what sounded like a fight between two people. One guy was screaming at the top of his lungs, "I'm going to kill you, you blankety blank blank. You know, this, I'm not going to put up with this anymore." And pounding on the walls, and we felt in danger. Like, are there going to be gunshots? And then it would calm down for a while, and then he'd scream and pound and throw things. And so I said to Jane, "Okay, I'm going to go and talk to the desk clerk." And so I quietly opened the door because I didn't want this guy to go off and hear me opening the door. And I didn't feel like pounding on the wall because I thought he might come over. Right. And so I went to the desk clerk. I said, "There's something going on in the room next to us." "Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's Frank. I'll go have a word with him."
Hi, my name's Rich Fulcher, Bob Fossil from the Mighty Boosh, and you're listening to the Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. You gotta watch them. Yeah, if you don't, I'm gonna rub your shoulder till a fire starts.
Where can you see the RSC? You can see Completely Hollywood Abridged this week at the Scottsdale Center for the Performing Arts in Scottsdale, Arizona. We close on April 5th. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for details. And our UK tour of the Bible is sadly over, but we shall return to the UK. We just don't know when. Rest assured, we will let you know on the podcast and our website and via Twitter as soon as we have any concrete information. But on the final night of the tour, just this past weekend, we received this wonderful email that said, "Just enjoyed a wonderful show at Berwick-upon-Tweed," and this was the Bible, the complete Word of God abridged, remember. "What a talented cast, enthusiastic, polite, real ambassadors for the theater, especially on the last night of the tour. Please convey my appreciation to all concerned. Regards, Reverend James B. Watson." Well, thank you, Reverend Watson. And now back to Reed Martin, who remembered that eccentric hotels are not limited to just the United States.
I also remember one of our early English tours in Worcester. We were playing the Swan Theater in Worcester, which is a nice theater and has had us many times. And we had neglected to book our hotel ahead of time. And there was a fishing competition, as so often happens in Worcester. And all the hotels in B and B's were booked. And so we drove and drove and drove. And we finally came upon this place. "Yeah, we have rooms for you guys." And so I checked into my room. And then Adam checked into his room. But the knob of the door, there was no knob on his door. It had been taken out. There was no way to secure his room. You could either come in just out of the hallway and go into his room, or I think the window didn't close either, and there was a fire escape there. And we all looked at each other and said, no.
But so, all right, so we've heard some great horror stories. What are some of our best hotels? I have to say, the Residence Inn in Columbus, Ohio, has to be right up at the top of my list of great hotels. It's in an old bank building, the Buckeye Building, on Gay Street in Columbus. And it built in 1927. It used to be a bank and, I guess, apartments. Now it's a Residence Inn. But these rooms were so well-designed. They have little kitchenettes and well-coordinated, well-decorated. Wouldn't you say, Elaine?
Yeah, everybody had their own fainting couch. It was a little love seat.
Which I never used, and I actually moved the reclining chair. But so that's got to be right up there for me.
Now, Elaine, in Arizona, didn't you guys just recent, not too long ago, experience like the best of the best?
Oh, we sure did. We stayed at a dude ranch. It was amazing. You drive into the property, and you drive past the golf course, and past the place where they keep the horses at night,
and there's it was so beautifully landscaped.
In Wickenburg?
In Wickenburg, Arizona. And you get to the front desk and they say, "Oh, we've been waiting for you. So-and-so here will take you to your rooms." And you get escorted to your, like, little building rooms. And, oh, it was beautiful. Spanish tile, huge rooms, a view out the front, a back porch in the back, and just gorgeous.
Didn't they keep feeding you, like, if you missed lunch?
Oh, yeah. All the architecture was beautiful. I got up in the morning to take a walk, and I walked past the horse wrangler herding the horses back to the corral for the morning ride, which Mick Orff took. He'll have to tell you about that. Past the group that was doing the bird watching walk, and I went in to get breakfast. And it's this beautiful dining room, the sun's streaming in, but there's no menus. And I sit down and I look around and the waitress comes up and says, "Well, what would you like?" And I say, "Well, do you have a menu?" She says, "No, just tell me what you want. We'll make you anything."
Wow.
And they would, you know, eggs Benedict, blueberry pancakes, you name it, they'd make it. But boy, yeah, that was a gorgeous place. We did not want to leave. I almost had to pry Mick and Dustin off the tennis court.
Wasn't this the place that Dustin dubbed Casa de Awesome?
Oh, he had a Kiva fireplace in his room.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Very nice.
Two nice places that I remember. One was we played the Bob Hope Center in Palm Springs or Palm Desert, and they put us up at La Quinta. This was this golf and tennis resort, and we all had our own sort of cabin, isn't the right word, but our own sort of room, and then our own sort of private swimming pool outside, and then we went to the driving range. None of us are even really golfers, but it was out there in the desert. It was just beautiful. And that was a really fancy, nice place. And I also remember when we played Tokyo one time, we stayed at the Hotel New Otani, which it was very expensive and very fancy. And when I went to... What was the Bill Murray movie?
Lost in Translation.
Yeah. It was like... If any of you have seen Lost in Translation, it's like that was the hotel.
Yeah.
And you've traveled all this way, so your whole clock is off. And it's sort of... Everything is surreal. And you're waking up in the middle of the night, and you turn on the TV, and it's like it's in Japanese or something.
Yeah. And for some reason, I'm having affairs with Scarlett Johansson. I don't know.
Yeah, and I was having one with Bill Murray. It was just weird.
Yeah.
But that was a really nice place.
That's it for this week's Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your hotel horror stories via email to feedback@reduceshakespeare.com or interact with other fans at our Reduce Shakespeare Company forum, or find us at facebook.com, myspace.com/reduceshakespeare, or become a subscriber to our channel on YouTube, or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, concierge Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Leanne Kulikin. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Rich Fulcher of the Mighty Boosh. They start airing new episodes this week in America on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim. And thanks to Caleb Meek Bradley for that great voice message. Leave your own voice message by clicking the RSC voicemail button on our podcast page. Thanks very much for listening. I'm Austin Tischner, 121/363 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Are we there yet?
Stop it!
Shut up!
'This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.